Isn't it interesting? More often than not, the only time we have time for Jesus is when we're in trouble.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant takes us to Matthew 15 and verses 21 through 29, where is recorded Jesus' interaction with a lady with a problem that caused her great distress. Her daughter was severely afflicted with an evil spirit. Now, this lady had no claim upon Jesus. In those times, there was no logical reason why he should do anything to help her. She was a Gentile. She was a pagan. She was a woman. Nevertheless, this lady let none of that deter her as she sought the Lord's merciful intervention. In the end, as Pastor Grant will bring out, this woman, with nothing in her favor except her faith in the power of Jesus, earned his commendation as a woman of great faith. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant examines some of the characteristics of a faith that moves the hand of God. Here now is Pastor Grant with his message, Faith for Troublous Times.
A man fell off a cliff, and as he was falling, he was able to grab hold of a limb, but he realized he couldn't hold on forever. So you can imagine how much he was gripped with fear, because in just a short time, he probably would be dead. Well, while he was holding on to the limb, he decided he would call out, and he held his head toward heaven and he shouted, "Is there anyone up there?" He got an answer. He heard a soft voice. "Yes, I am here. I am the Lord." The man lifted his head again and he said, "Can you help me?" The Lord answered, "Yes, I can. Just let go and I'll save you." There was a pause, and then the man lifted his head. "Is there anyone else out there?" You know, as the world reels from its challenge and its struggle, you know, our world is gripped with fear, just like the man in that illustration, as we face the greatest crisis of our generation. But I want you to know God is on the throne and he really can help us. Amen. The God who stilled the waters is still able to still our troubled hearts. And so this morning, I want to bring you a special message, which I've entitled Faith for Troublous Times. In our text in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, we find Jesus in Gentile territory for the only time in the Gospel of Matthew. This is the only time Jesus is in Gentile territory in Matthew's Gospel. And while he's there, he's traveling in the area of modern-day Lebanon. And while he was there, a lady came to see him. Now, this lady was also facing troublous times, just as we are. In her case, the problem was an invisible demon. Invisible demons had possessed her daughter and was destroying her daughter. In our day, it's this invisible virus they're calling the coronavirus. Listen, just like she was troubled, just like we're troubled, she was troubled because her daughter was being destroyed by these invisible demons. Interestingly, this woman was a pagan who up until now had no interest in Jesus. But now that she was in trouble, she came looking for Jesus. You know, isn't that like many of us? Isn't it interesting? More often than not, the only time we have time for Jesus is when we're in trouble. Some people don't even believe in God until they're in real trouble. Then they ask for a prayer because suddenly there is something about us that wants to dismiss God until there is a problem. Perhaps right now this morning you're watching this program and you're just like that. The only reason God has your attention right now is because of the current crisis. My friend, if that's you, don't worry. God is not mad at you. In fact, This pagan woman who had no interest in Jesus, by the time of her encounter with Jesus, she would become one of only two people in the entire Bible that Jesus commended for great faith. Just imagine, this pagan woman would soon become one of only two people in the entire Bible that Jesus commended for having great faith. And it's my prayer that as we discuss her story this morning, we may also become people of great faith. What was so great about this woman's faith? Let me take the time this morning just to share with you three things about this woman's faith. Number one, and if you have pen and paper, take some notes, because some of what I'm saying, it may be worth your looking over again later on. It was a persistent faith. Number one, it was a persistent faith. I'm reading Matthew's fifth gospel, chapter 50. Let me pick up at verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Have you ever prayed repeatedly for something and it seemed that all you got was a busy signal from heaven? Well, that's the situation this lady found herself in. Here she is coming to Jesus, and she's seeking his help, and she's crying out to him, and Jesus is not answering. In fact, the NIV, the New International Version of the Bible, the way it translates it, actually takes the time to say, Jesus did not say even one word. Just imagine, she is following, she's shouting, she's begging Jesus for help, and Jesus does not even say one word. It's just as if there's a busy signal from heaven. But this woman did not give up because she had persistent faith. To add insult to injury, Jesus' disciples, they wanted to get rid of her. So they said to Jesus, "Listen, Jesus, we need to get rid of this woman because she's creating such a racket. She keeps shouting out, 'Let this woman go away.'" But not even that discouraged her. But notice what Jesus said to his disciples here. Look at what Jesus said to his disciples in verse 24. He said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This is important to the rest of the story, so I need to take a moment just to clarify what Jesus was saying. Listen, Jesus was actually saying to this woman, "My present mission is only to the Jews." As he answered his disciples, he was saying, "My mission is only to the Jews. It's not really to this woman who is a Gentile." Now, just in case you're wondering, is salvation only for the Jews? Salvation is not only for the Jews, but if you take the time to study it, you'll realize that in his earthly ministry, Jesus' ministry was focused on his earthly chosen people, the Jews. But after he went to the cross, he died on the cross, not for the sins of the Jews only, but he died on the cross for the sins of the entire world. And after he died on the cross, you find Jesus commissioning his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every single creature. And he told them, "Lo, I am with you always." Hallelujah. The message of salvation is not just for the Jews. It is for the Gentile. It is for every nation and nationality. And my friend, no matter who you are or what is your social standing, this message of the gospel is for you. Jesus can save you today. But put yourself in this woman's shoe. Can you imagine yourself? You're following after Jesus and you're shouting after him and you're begging for help and he's not answering, how would you respond? How would you feel? Perhaps you'd say, this is not my lucky day, and you just walk away. Listen, I'm done. If that's how Jesus behaves, I'm finished with him. But I want you to realize something. Jesus was not being rude. Jesus was actually trying to grow her faith. And that's why at the end of the story, her faith actually became great faith. Great faith requires persistence. Oh, I hope you're hearing me this morning. Great faith requires persistence. So when heaven seems to be silent, well, I'm speaking to somebody this morning who heaven seems to be silent, but even when heaven seems to be silent, God says, keep on praying, never give up. Amen? You know, a few years ago, I joined the Y trying to make another attempt to get physically fit. And this time, I got a trainer, and the trainer was showing me all the equipment and how to use the equipment. And he was also showing me what weights to use on each equipment. And of course, I was trying to get him to use weights within my comfort level. And I would say, this is just right. And he would tell me, no, that's not hard. That's too light. You can do that easily. But it was comfortable. I wanted to be in my comfort level. And then I told him, you know, I said, my schedule is so tough. I probably will only be able to get here twice a month. He said, just hold a minute. If you only come here twice a month, you won't be doing anything. Listen, this thing requires persistence. You're going to have to come regularly, and you're going to have to get outside your comfort zone. You see, if we're going to develop physical strength, we need resistance and persistence. And if we're going to develop spiritual strength, we're going to also have to, resistance will be required and persistence will be required. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I am saying, listen, right now God is allowing us to be taken outside our comfort zone. Oh, I know as you were listening to me, you know exactly what I'm speaking. Some of you are stressed beyond limit. Listen, God is allowing us to come outside our comfort zone. But he can use this crisis to develop spiritual muscle. And my friend, anytime you feel a little stressed and you're wondering what is God up to, I encourage you to pick up your Bible and turn to Psalm 91 and take time to read Psalm 91 and allow God to grow your faith. Allow God to help you develop spiritual muscle, because he has taken us outside our comfort zone so that he can make us even stronger and more vibrant Christians.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But we not only need resistance, we need persistence. Well, I was glad to see that the president called a national day of prayer on Sunday last. To be honest, it was a pity it was so kept so quiet, because we didn't realize that it was the National Day of Prayer. But I'm glad that there was a National Day of Prayer, because in times like these, we need Jesus. I was encouraged to see that my home country of Jamaica, that the Prime Minister declared 3 days of not only prayer, 3 days of prayer and fasting. And it was interesting to see the Prime Minister leading the nation in prayer. What a thing God is doing, as he is forcing us, causing us, let me use that word, because God is not forcing us, but he is causing us, even individuals who usually have no time for him, is getting us to focus on him and how much we need him. Listen, but if we're really serious about God helping us through this crisis, one day of prayer won't do it. What we need in this time of crisis is for everyone who claims that they know Jesus as their Savior, we need to lock into prayer and we need to be daily praying for God to intervene. Let me ask you, have you been praying every single day for God's intervention? Have you been praying every day that God might have mercy on those who are being hurt by this virus? Are you praying? The book of James chapter 5 verse 16 still tells us, James 5, 16 still tells us that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. And today as we face this crisis, we need believers who will exercise persistent faith. Get this. If you're taking notes, write this. Persistent faith pursues after God. Persistent faith pursues after God. This woman's faith was a persistent faith. But second, it was a worshipful faith. It was a worshipful faith. Verse 25 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, tells us this. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. There's a lot of irony in this verse. Because Jesus had just said to his disciples that I have come on a mission to the Jews. But as we know, the Jews rejected him. Jesus came on a mission to the Jews, but the Jews had rejected him. But here was this pagan Gentile woman. Let me just pause here for a minute, just in case you're missing how significant this is. Because this was a time when the Jews regarded the Gentiles as dogs. Here was this Gentile, a woman. It was an era where a woman, she couldn't even give testimony in a Jewish court because a woman's testimony was not valid. She couldn't be trusted, so they believed. A woman had to walk several paces behind her husband. A woman, there was no equality between men and women. You know, sometimes I hear people say that this Bible, the message of the Bible holds back women. Listen, if you're listening to me, I want you to know that the message of the Bible, the gospel, was actually liberating for women. And here Jesus, only one, don't forget this, this is one of only two people in the entire Bible that Jesus commends for having great faith. And she's a pagan, she's a Gentile, she's a woman. And here comes this woman, she's kneeling and she's worshiping Jesus. How ironic. You see, as a result of the crisis in her life, she came to realize who Jesus is. She came to realize that Jesus is actually God manifested in the flesh. And if he's God manifested in the flesh, he deserved her worship. You know, today the majority of the world has rejected Jesus. Some accept him as a good teacher, but they reject the idea that Jesus is God. I remember when I was in college, yes, way back there, when I was in college, so this is nothing new. They told me, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, because all roads lead to the same place. You know, Oprah Winfrey has the same idea. And a few years ago, she said, there are many more paths to God than Christianity. She said, for with 6 billion people, now it's even more than that. But at that time, she said, for with 6 billion people on the planet, Jesus couldn't possibly be the only way to heaven. But as much as I love Oprah, I love Jesus more. And I'd rather believe Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it, but narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and very few find it. I'll never forget, some years ago, I was speaking to a physician, and she looked at me after I shared the gospel with her, and she said, Brian, you're just too narrow-minded. Jesus could not be the only way to heaven. I said, please don't blame me. I am not the one who's narrow-minded, it's Jesus. He's the one who said, narrow is the road that leads to life, and very few find it. And then I said to her, it even gets narrower than that. Because he went on to say, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Have you found Jesus yet? Have you come to him as yet? You know, because of her crisis, this woman came seeking for Jesus. And in the midst of our crisis, it's time to seek the Lord. My friend, in the midst of this crisis, I believe God is allowing this crisis to bring the nations back to himself, but not only to bring the nations back to him, he is allowing this crisis to bring you back to him. It is time to seek the Lord. And it is my prayer that this morning, as you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would come to know him whom to know is life eternal. But verse 25 states that she not only worshiped Jesus, but she also asked Jesus for help. But it's interesting, she's asking him for help, but she gives no reason why he should help her. The reason she gives no reason is because she had no reason. She knew she was an undeserving sinner. My friend, God's salvation is totally undeserving. I didn't deserve it, and none of us deserved God's salvation. The Bible uses a word to describe it. The Bible uses the word grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Stop a minute. You know, we would rather find a way. We wish there's something we could do to get God's salvation. In fact, I met people who literally believe that the things they're doing are earning God's salvation. Some believe because I have my name on some church register. Some believe because I got baptized or because I've done certain things, I deserve God's salvation. But nothing that we do, it is all by grace. We are saved by the grace of God. Grace is God's undeserved favor. My friend, if you want to see what grace looks like, look at the cross, because it was at the cross. Our praise team was singing for us this morning, at the cross, my debt was paid. My friend, I want you to know it was at the cross that Jesus Christ, he paid the debt. This debt you and I deserve because of our sin. Jesus was beaten. We all know the story, how Jesus was beaten. His back was torn apart. Eusebius, the great historian, he tells us that if you look at someone who was crucified, their body was so torn apart, so lacerated, that all their interior organs were visible. His back was torn apart. He was bleeding from his back. His face was bleeding from the pummeling he had received. His brow was bleeding. His hands were bleeding. Nailed to the cross. But my friend, Jesus, as he was there suffering for your sin and my sin, he prayed to his Father. This is grace. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And my friend, I'm so glad that I have received the grace of God. It's undeserved favor. But I'm so glad Jesus died for me. I couldn't earn my salvation. I couldn't pay for my salvation. No good works were adequate, but Jesus paid it all.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin.
I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would certainly be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.